name, another name. I did some brainstorming. I said, get that. I said, but let me think about it. So I didn't think to call him up. And 3 days later or 4 days later, we met again on a business for business. He said, Brother Imam, he said, I called downstate. And that's where we got to get the company incorporated downstate. That's where we're going, Illinois. He said, and they said that we can use it. He said that it is available. So we end up with the term, Unitrust. It'll be Unitrust, meaning one trust. One trust. Now, you know, in Islamic knowledge and life, we trust God. That's one trust, isn't it? But God say, trust God and trust his messenger. So that's two trusts, right? Okay. And we trust each other, don't we? That's another trust. We trust God's angels. God says, and trust his angels. That's another trust. So we have many trusts, don't we? But we have one trust. Like this nation, I pluribus unum, one of many. Many nations, many nationalities come here, and they conform to the law and way of one nation, America, U.S. So we have one nation of many. And we have one trust of many. What is that one trust? Trust in God. It's only in the trust that God wants us to have for him that other trusts are admitted and qualified. We trust Muhammad the Prophet because Muhammad the Prophet trusts God. And he is the servant of God. Obedient, upright, model servant of God. And we trust the angels because they are the servants of God, the messengers of God. So whatever we trust other than God, it qualified and it becomes real for us because of the trust in God. So really, there are many trusts in one God. Huh? And the trust, they come under the trust of God. So I'm a business practical man too. So I told the brothers in the meeting, sisters too, we had sisters there too. See, we don't keep the, we're not sex crazy, you know, our sex tilted. We're pretty balanced. So anyway, I told them, I said, now that I explained that the Islamic side of it, I said, now let me tell you what we mean in business when we say unit trust. I said, we mean that we trust this business. We trust the business vision, the economic vision that we have. And it's one. Our vision is one, and we trust it. Based upon what we have as a business vision, we trust it. And though we have many entities, we're setting up another company. The trust is one. Trust is one. The trust is the knowledge and vision, the logic and the objectives that we hope to reach. When we see that and we trust it, then I trust it, you trust it. We have one trust, don't we? We have one trust in business. We trust one business promise. This is the business promise we have. You trust that business promise, I trust that business promise. One. Okay, you ain't loyal to that business promise? Out. Although I might have initiated it. God initiated it as far as my knowledge goes. God initiated. God has inspired me to come up with these ideas. So God has initiated. And it's a blessing from Allah, the mercy of Allah. But if you see me as initiator, the person, among the human persons that's with it, I'm the one who started all this now. This new thing. Vision for improving our lives materially. This new vision, CPC. Okay? If I am not loyal to the nature, concept, promise, vision, logic of this business idea, out with me. And that's the way people succeed. This is the way people really succeed in life. This is the way of intelligent, educated, civilized society. You don't set a man up and put everything at risk by saying, this is what holds it all together. That man holds it all together. You're putting it all at risk because that man is going to get sick. That man is going to die. That man may go crazy. Yeah. Only thing you have to do is marry four wives in America. I just saw a way to help another situation with a few words. So I couldn't resist the temptation. Yeah. The fools rush in where wise men fear to tread. I'm just trying to slow up the rush. Praise be to Allah. Now, getting back to our subject. Unity trust. One God, we trust that one God. And if we know how, we have to love the logic that God gives us. We have to love it. When you love the reasoning, the reasoning and the logic that God reveals, then without actually trying, your mind, your reasoning, your feelings, your emotions, everything in you starts to be influenced by that and starts to agree with that and conform to that. And that's how I come up with unity trust. Because I love that logic. And God says, وَسِعَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا رَحْمًا. And God has caused everything he made to be extended, supported by, to be extended, have his extending life or extending existence. Everything is growing. Everything is in motion, moving and growing. Upon what? Ilm? Means science. It means science. Wa rahmah. And mercy. And mercy. Just that small, little small expression. That's wisdom. That statement in the Quran. Little small expression in the Quran. It's a great wisdom. So if we want to plan our life, if we want to plan our business vision, it's more than just a business, it's a business vision. If we want to plan our business vision for getting us from where we are now, materially speaking or economically speaking, to where we would like to be in this world, then we should appreciate the logic that God has given us, and we should appreciate the way God says he has done things. Now, we want growth. We want to see our work extended. So let us be sure that it's respecting the laws of science. I mean the real science, Allah created science, not what you get out of the colleges. That's science, but it might be 90% pure. But I doubt if it's 100% pure. That means 100% in accord with the laws of with the logic that God has put in the matter. I don't know if it's 100% accurate or in accord with that or not. So I say God's science, the science created by God. If we want to do things, respect that. Respect these laws of reality that God made. And remember what God said, how he extended things, not just upon laws, but he extended things upon mercy.
So where's the mercy going to be in our concept of our business? Where's the mercy going to be in our vision for getting us from here where we are to where we want to go? So we have to move not only with high knowledge, wisdom, high knowledge, science, and exact knowledge, but we have to move with compassion, with mercy for human beings, for human life, for our brothers and sisters in the religion, for our neighbors who are not Muslims. Iman wa rahmah. This is living the Quran. This is how you live the Quran. The Quran is not just for us to just read and be educated, to say that we know what it's saying. The real purpose is to have it support, guide, and support our life. So we have to know how to interpret it and apply it to our life. So we have the strength of Islam in our own lives. Not in spirit only, but in logic and in mercy or compassion. The kindness of Islam, it's kindness. We have to have it in our own life and in our own works, our own practices, our own devotions to business, everything. Don't you know if we practice that, how can we not be successful? No way we going to fail if we practice that. Yes, Tawheed, the oneness of God's creation, the unity of his creation. It's all one universe, one system of matter. One system with many systems operating in it, but it is one system. The system holds it all together and keep it all conforming to the nature and the rules of law or order that God created for it or created it for. This is the beauty. Tawheed. Just a moment, I'm pulling the glasses out now. I got a plane I'm supposed to catch. You got some useful sketch, too. Let me hurry up. Yep. That's another thing we have to do. You know, we can't, just because you're going to catch a plane and the other one's going to catch something else, you can't make your matter more important than theirs. Because their matter to them may be more important to them than yours is to you. So I respect your obligation. Your commitments and everything, or just your desire. I have to respect that. So I'm going to hurry up and sum this up. Inclusiveness, yes. Now, Tawheed, inclusiveness. Tawheed and inclusiveness, I'm putting them together. Because this oneness takes us to the language or to this terminology we have here, this term, inclusiveness. It is inclusiveness that provides or presents to us the oneness. This is included. This is part of the same nature. This is part of the same nature, so it's included. This is part of the same logic, so it's included. So this inclusiveness is what enables us to see the oneness, correct? That's where we're able to see the oneness. Like, my body is one human body, isn't it? But this is a finger, not a tongue. It's a finger. Ain't no tongue, it's a finger. But all these taken together, it's included. It's part of this system. It survives in this system. Take it off this system, it dies. So it is a necessary part of this system. And it extended, it is an extension of the life of this system. Its logic is the logic of the system. Its life is the life of the system. The logic for that life is the life of the same logic. Same way the whole universe. Same thing goes for the whole universe. So it's included. My finger's included in my body. If you draw a picture of me and my anatomy or whatever, and you leave that finger out of there, we say, hey, You miss something. A finger goes there. It's included, right? Okay. And the inclusion of all these things as a natural as natural members in one body is what brings to us the idea of oneness, that this is one body. Okay, same thing for the universe. So this inclusiveness is to be understood firstly, then we can appreciate what meant by oneness. Now, I come to another expression here, religious freedom. We have to understand that though God says Islam is a religion of man, the religion of Adam, the religion of all the prophets, their natural inheritance, our inheritance, heritage, pardon me, our inheritance. Yes, though God says that, God also says, and I have preferred for you Islam as a religion. Isn't that a soft way of putting it? God didn't say like he said for the Ten Commandments. He gave Moses Ten Commandments. And there wasn't no softening of that language. Thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt. Right? But when it comes to giving us Islam, the Quran and Islam, doesn't that constitute our comprise our commandments? Yes, so these are our commandments. When Allah gave the Quran to Muhammad, this was our commandments. And he doesn't say thou shalt and they bam, bam, bam like that. But it's soft. He says, and I have preferred for you. Meaning that there are other choices. Anytime God says, I have preferred for you, God is saying there are other choices. So God didn't exclude or dismiss the possibility or the fact that there are other choices. People are choosing Christianity. People are choosing Judaism. People are choosing other religions. There's sapiens and atheists are mentioned in the Quran. And they still exist. They ain't going nowhere. Few of them still existing over in the Middle East, called sapiens. God didn't dismiss those religions. So, but he says, I have preferred for you this day, he says. This day. If he says this day, that means maybe yesterday he didn't. Listen, if God says this day, I prefer for you Islam, maybe yesterday he didn't. So what did he prefer for them yesterday, buddy man? Maybe Judaism. Maybe Christianity. Who knows? I think whoever he gave his covenant to, he preferred that way at that time. So if his covenant was with the Jews at that time that he gave his covenant to the Jews, then that was what he preferred. And when his covenant came to the people of Imran, to the family of Imran, then I'm reasoning that was their religion, that if they had it, was what he preferred. But his promise was that he would perfect his light. God himself would complete and perfect his light. Huh? And he did that in revealing the Quran. Now, just like he took the covenant off one before and put it on another prior to Muhammad the prophet, when Islam comes and the last prophet comes, then he takes the covenant off of the one that was on and he puts the covenant on the Muslim, on the Ummah of Islam. Huh? And so he says, this day, he completed the Quran, the revealing of the Quran to Muhammad the prophet. And he says, this day have I completed for your religion. Perfected for your religion, huh? And completed my favor on you. My favor on you. Meaning that I favored my creation. I favored human beings. And I promised them that I will go and favor them. And I have been extending my favor to them from the time that they were created till this time. The old prophets, the new, and now the last, Muhammad.
And with Muhammad, he completes this favor on the human being that he created Muslims. He completes this favor on them. He says, this day I have perfected for you your religion. Huh? And completed my favor on you. And have chosen for you. So God has a choice of religion. And before this choice, his choice was with others. His covenant was with others, his choice was with others. But his choice had not been completed and manifest. So actually they were just stages in the growth toward completion. This is the logic. So whatever he gave the early prophets, what they got was stages in the growth toward completion and perfection. Whatever he gave the Moses or the Jews, stages in growth toward perfection and completion. Then when it's completed and perfected, then he says, okay, you've seen what I have tolerated. You've seen what I have been putting up with. Yes. And I gave my covenant to these people. But you see how they lost it? Now I'm giving it to you. My choice used to be with them. They used to be my. Ambassadors, message carriers, and ambassadors. But now I'm giving it to Muhammad and his followers. Praise be to Allah. Says, and anyone who will reject this religion after God has completed it, perfected it, and completed his favor upon us, if anyone will reject this religion, he makes himself a fool. So here's what God says. If anyone rejects this religion, they make themselves a fool. And actually, it means that they debase, they cheapen their own creation. Safa Hanessa. They cheapen their own creation. And I've studied this religion and I'm convinced that if we accept anything other than what God is saying in Islam, that you are created Muslim, that he made you, he created you, and he created you Muslim, and that you are already having in your own reality, in your own human constitution, the form that God wants in you. Now you know, it would be ridiculous now for me to believe some other kind of way. That God created a human being, but didn't create that human being in the form he wanted. And now the human being has to be reborn again to come into the form, because the form he's in is a beast or a sinner, a despicable thing. No. God says he created us Muslim from birth. You're born in the hospitals, in the nurseries. Muslim. You're born what Allah wants you to be. And the world raises us in the wrong way. Rear us up in the wrong way. So this makes all the sense to me. Now Allah reveals to a human being, not to a tree. And the tree speaks to a human being. To a human being he reveals. And the human being speaks to us, human beings. God communicates to a human person. And a human person communicates to the rest of the human persons what God is saying or what God is communicating. And that communication comes as Islam, a religion. And that religion is just answering what my Muslim creation is asking for. That's all it's doing. My Muslim creation wants something that is not getting from this world.
It wants understanding that is not getting from this world. It wants the logic that is not getting from this world. It wants a perception of the whole and reality that is not getting from this world. It wants a direction for itself and an understanding of its purpose in this creation that is not getting satisfactorily from this world. So then Islam comes and give my human soul what my human soul is starving for. So is Islam really something foreign to my body or something natural for my body? Something natural for my body. And that's why it's called Deen al-Fitrah. The religion of the original order. The one that he created man from in the beginning, from the start. الَّذِي فَتَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. The one he created man from, and man in the nature and form that Allah created the human person in from the beginning. This religion comes no more to do no more than just feed that with the food that it calls for. Feed it with the food that it calls for. That's all. So understand that. If this religion of Islam is not a religion of angels that comes down from heaven to humans. It's a religion of humans that comes down from God to humans. Praise be to Allah. Isn't it wonderful? Yes. So to live Islam is not living something that's hard for you. It's living something that's easy for you. If you will just accept that it's yours. The religion of freedom. Now, the religion of freedom, why do we have, I'm calling Islam the religion of freedom. Islam is the religion of freedom. Islam frees us for the first time we're completely free. Mm-hmm. And the soul wants freedom. And we can have measures of freedom, political freedom, different kinds of freedom. But until we have the freedom that God gives us with Islam, with the religion, we won't enjoy a complete sense of freedom for ourselves. That's my firm belief. I'm a free man, completely free. God knows that. I'm a free man, completely free. Nothing holds me, nothing. If the boss of the CIA would like this business idea I got, and he didn't conform to it, I'd fire him just as quick as I'd fire any of you. I'm completely free. If the President of the United States likes this business idea and he wants to join it, he'd be out just as quick as you'll be out. I'm completely free. If any of you all working for me think somebody else have me under them, try me. Try me. You'll be out. Nothing can keep you in but God. Because my allegiance is only to Allah. I'm completely free. So you play your little games, but I told you, I'm completely free. And I thank Allah. Only Allah did that for me. Nothing else could do that for me. With this book and with Muhammad, God has made me completely free. Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, when he was given victory in Mecca, that meant that he had victory over the whole peninsula of Arabia. Jews were living traditionally in Medina. That's in Arabia. Did he tell them you can't have your religion anymore? No. He mandated by written law. He put it in writing in law. Statement guaranteeing them religious freedom. As long as they didn't try to go against the peace of the state. He did the same thing for the Sabians. He did the same thing for Christians. Muhammad did that. So now how can we, educated members of our community, how can you now think that we are not to respect religious freedom in the United States? When Muhammad himself established it long before the Spanish and others discovered this America. Huh? Muhammad, the prophet, our prophet, our leader, had already established that these people should have the right to practice their religion. And some will say, oh, well, that wasn't like it wasn't then like it was now. How can you say that? It was worse then than it is now. When you look at the early history of the Jews, they were worse a long time ago than they are now. Look at the early history of the Christians, they were worse people on this earth than they are now. That's not a fact. They have grown more civilized with time. Don't say it was a different people, they were worse. If Prophet Muhammad could tolerate them then, I know we can tolerate them now. And look, in Rome, there was the Vatican, right? Allah have given, through Muhammad, have given a chapter by the name of the Rome. A Rome. That's the name of chapter in the Quran. And Allah revealed predictions to Muhammad in the Quran that the Romans would be threatened, but they would overcome it. They would be spared. They would gain victory. Isn't that not in the Quran? Yes, they would overcome their difficulties that they were facing at that time. From threats. It's in the Quran. It didn't say you will survive this one, but you wait until the wave of Islam, the wave of the Muslim soldiers come. You won't survive that. No threat from Islam. Muslims and Christians clashed not because Islam wanted Muslims and Christians to be against each other. Muslims and Christians clashed because the world of Islam had become materialistic and political, more so than religious. And the world of Christianity had become, long before that, materialistic and political, more than religious. And that's what brought about the Crusades, the fighting, the wars. Now we live in a civilized world, a much more civilized world. And the Muslims from Saudi Arabia, from Mecca, are sitting at the table with the heads of Catholicism, discussing how we can recognize each other and know more about each other so that we can contribute to the betterment of the world together. That's what they're doing, like we're doing over here. And not just them, many. So don't think Islam is not for the freedom of religion. Now you got Christian neighbors living around you. In fact, you are the stranger in their neighborhood. And I'm working like the Dickens to make you look like you're not an alien. Like you do belong humanly in their neighborhood. And if you listen to me, you're going to have the best life that people have ever lived on this earth. Because the time now is better than ever been since the history of man, for mankind to have the good life, the best life in history. And God has blessed me to be in tune with it. In tune with it. Spirited for it. So if you follow me, you will have the best life that any people have lived on this earth. But you'll have to be like Muhammad. Prayers and peace be upon him. He loved his neighbors. He more than loved his neighbors. He felt that the God that created them to have his support. That neighbors should support each other. We've already always heard of good neighbors, being good neighbors. It's natural for us. That's that Muslim nature.
Wanting to be a good neighbor, that's your Muslim doing that. That's the Muslim in you that God made. Wanting to be a good neighbor. And feeling that you're obligated to your neighbor. When our African-American people had less of this world's mind and more of the fear of God in them, the natural Muslim in them was more alive. And they cared more about their neighbors in poverty, in hell, so to speak. But they cared about their neighbors. Say, child, Maybell, about 5 miles down the road there, said, that girl ain't got no flour. Say, we got to get her some flour. They take their flour, share their flour with her. Isn't that true that Allah made us Muslim? By nature, by our virtual bodies, flesh, blood bodies, he made us Muslim. You've been living part of your Muslim life. You've been living part of your religion, Islam. And you have to now recognize, what was Islam that I was living before, that Allah is bringing, calling me to become aware of? Muhammad the Prophet said, peace be upon him, no believer will go to sleep, rest, and well tonight, knowing his neighbor is hungry next door, going to bed hungry. Isn't that what he said? Well, wasn't that the practice of most of our people in the South? If they had to go to bed and they knew the neighbor was hungry down 5 miles, 8 miles or so, they couldn't rest well. If we got to get some butter down there, we got to get some meat down there, we got to get some flour down there, take us some sugar. Isn't that what we did, brothers? Our parents did that. And that was Muslim. And that was Islam they were practicing. That's what the Prophet tried to do for those Arabs. He tried hard to make his Arab brothers and sisters, his Arab citizens, a fellow countrymen, know that Islam is not something foreign to your nature, your body. Islam came to just build on the best that you already are. That's all Islam is. It's the building up on the best that you already are. And God gave the guidance for how that should be built up. And here it is in the Quran and in the life of Muhammad. But the devil will try to make us, the Satan, the Shaitan himself, he will try to make us think, oh, don't grab that religion, you're black. That's the religion of the Arabs. No, this is the religion of the human being. Muhammad made the Arabs know that this is not the religion of the Arabs. He said, respect, honor is not to be paid to any because of him being black or white or black or red or because of him being an Arab or non-Arab, but because of his obedience to God. Huh? Because of his obedience to God. So all of us are free to follow the light, follow the way, and be obedient to God. So we are equal then. This creates a circumstance or situation for equality. I don't have to now worry that somebody's going to impose his authority on me because he's white, or his authority on me because he's black and I'm white, or his authority because me because his nation is recognized above mine. But it's all on the basis of human equality. Praise be to God. If this ain't plain enough for you, you ain't fit for nothing but ignorance. You've lost your Muslim self forever. The Muslim sitting down in your soul with both eyes closed and his fingers in the ear. Deep in the core of his being, he'll hear and be touched by what I'm saying. Take his fingers out of the ears. Open his eyes. Woo! I'm coming up. Praise be to Allah. Now, for a world on the path of God, our religion is life on a path. You hear that? Our religion is life on a path. So what does that suggest? Progress. A path suggests a beginning point and a destination. Huh? So if the whole of my life as a Muslim is life on a path,
And this is for the other great religions too, but the Sabil al-Lajj call, the path of God, says, call the people to the path of God.
Echo ila Sabil al-Lahi. Call them, call the people to the path of God.
So my whole life then is a life on the path of God. And Muhammad the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, he said that in this world I'm just a traveler.
That's what he said.
I'm just a traveler.
And I stop under a shade tree. That's what he said. I stop under a shade tree.
So you're in a route then. He wasn't going to stay there. That was just a
stopping point. Rest stop. Shade suggests rest stop.
That was just a rest stop on the road. He's not going to stand. He's going to keep moving. So we have to call people to the path of God. So that says that our religion is not a static religion. Huh?
It's an active religion.
It's not a static religion. It's an active religion. It's the religion of action. Action. It's a religion of action. I have to be moving, doing something. And a path suggests constant progression. Constant progression. So I can't be slagging back. Backsliders and laggers and draggers, they're condemned by Scripture. I can't be backing up in the road. Oh, no. I got to keep going in this road. I got to keep moving toward the destination. The destination is to satisfy what God asked of me. God wants every human being to do something about his life and about his family life and about the life of his community and about the life of the people of the world. I got to keep going. They don't wake me down, stop me. I be found dead. Not making progress in the road. No, I'm gone. I'm keep moving. I'm going to carry the graveyard with me. So if you join us in this religion, you be ready to work. You be ready to make progress. You be ready to turn your life from a zero to a one and a two and a ten and a 20 and a 30 and a 40 and a 100 and a 1,000. You multiply your life into progress. Huh? Yes. Bring increase in your life, because God said he has created us for growth. And he wants that we have increase. Huh? This is God's promise. This will make you a good neighbor. If you're a positive person on your block, you're a progressive person on your block, you will contribute to the health and strength and progress of your neighbors and the block. And they will welcome you and love you. And they will talk about you just like the Indonesians talked about those Arabs that came to Indonesia to live, with good business practices, with fair dealing, with honest, clean hearts. Oh, they praised them so much until the word went all over the country, and the whole country converted to Islam. Not by sword, but by good people giving the best example of Muslim followers of Muhammad and the Quran and Muhammad. Converted the whole country, the whole land, to Islam. And the Indonesians will brag about that now. They'll tell you that we, our history says, that the businessmen from Muslim Arab came here, and they were such good neighbors. They were such good neighbors that we want to learn what made them that way. This is their report. What made them that way? And when they said it was their religion, we wanted to have their religion. So we converted to Islam. Isn't that wonderful? If it happened once in history, can it happen again? No, I'm not after converting all Christians or all America to Islam. That's not my objective. My objective is just to build on the solid, good, healthy life that God has prescribed for us in this book and in the example of Muhammad. That's all I'm going to do. And if I don't get nothing but three houses built that's just like God wants them, I'll be happy. But now if we have 3,000, oh, that's a wonderful thing. That'll bring so much great joy to us. Now and generations to come, the world will be so much better. But I ain't counting on that. I know if we build up Muslim life in the Christian environment, non-Muslim environment. As God intends for us to build up that life, if we do it the way God wants us to do it, I know if it doesn't bring them to be Muslims, it certainly is going to make them conscious that they are not living up to the best of their own religion, and we're going to have better Christian neighbors as a result of us being the excellent Muslim neighbors. Now, isn't that something to work for? Don't just work to convert somebody, but work to have a better environment for all of us. Now, in conclusion, I go back to that promised one in the Bible, in the old book, the Torah, the Old Testament, and the Injil, the New Testament, the Gospel. Muhammad, the liberator, coming to take from the people the yoke of slavery and break every bond that hold them in captivity of any form. I go back to him. What was he going to do? He's come to purify them and to teach them the book and the wisdom. And God says he has created you that you may grow and that you may have increase. Therefore, Islam is the path of purity. Islam is the path of growth and increase, progress. Islam is the path also of excellence. And God says that he has written, inscribed in the nature of everything, a need to have excellence. Excellence. The roach couldn't be in his form that he's in if he didn't have urges in his biological makeup that was urging him to have roach excellence. God did that. For us to realize all of this excellence, we must have at the end of the path not only paradise after the body is dead, in the ground and dirt again, but we must have a vision in the path of the ummah, the community life that Allah gave Muhammad to us to lead us to, and that he gave revelation to us to help us know how to establish that order, that life, and order that community, and have that community, and realize the great blessings and resources of life on earth in community. We have to have that vision down the road that we are going to build a town. If it's only a town of 50 people, or a town of 500, or a town of 5,000, we're going to build a town in America. We're going to have model neighborhoods in America, and model Muslim neighbors in America among Christians. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is the conclusion of this, and let us be good neighbors, and let us have nothing but our natural rights, our birthright, El Islam. Assalamu alaikum. May God guide us to the way.
For more on the ministry of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call 1-708-798-6750 or write Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733 or write Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.